there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Today, I'm talking with Stacy Teller with the City of Salem and Cassie Roost with the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. They both have been instrumental in bringing the City Nature Challenge to Salem for the first time. Welcome to Conservation Spotlight, Stacy and Cassie.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I learned about the City Nature Challenge last year and thought, gosh, that would be so cool to bring this to our area, but I didn't have the capacity to get it going myself. So I'm super glad that you did and that Polk SWCD gets to participate in West Salem as a partner. So I'd like to dive in and find out how our listeners can join the challenge. So we'll start talking with you, Stacy. What is the City Nature Challenge and why did you decide to bring this opportunity to the community of Salem?
Yeah, so the City Nature Challenge is a four-day event. It's going to take place April 26th through 29th. And basically it's where participating cities encourage the community to get outside and take pictures of wild plants and animals with their phone and then upload them to iNaturalist. So this challenge really encourages people to get outside, to visit their local parks, but then also learn more about the plants and wildlife that are all around them. And also, data uploaded to iNaturalist is used as biodiversity data by scientists around the world. So any observations of plants or animals that are uploaded during those 4 days are going to count towards the challenge and then could possibly be used as biodiversity data for our area.
And to give our listeners some perspective, this is not just an Oregon thing. This is a worldwide event. And where all is the City Nature Challenge taking place in this area?
So here in Oregon, the participating cities are us, City of Salem, Portland, Bend, and Eugene. But worldwide, there are over 500 cities participating. And they're from states all over the United States, but from other countries as well, such as Canada, Mexico, India, Brazil, Austria, Italy, just to name a few. There's a whole bunch of different cities and countries participating.
Awesome. And where locally in Salem can people join?
So we are hosting 8 different events throughout the 4 days. So they're going to be all in local parks, but we have events in each area as well. So we've got West Salem. Thank you to you for hosting and helping do those events. But then also we've got events at Bush Park. We've got events at Minto Brown Park. But then people can also just participate by just going outside and into their own yards, their own gardens, their own neighborhoods.
Awesome. And let's talk about joining the challenge. I don't want anyone to feel intimidated by that in case they're not an expert and are new to making nature observations. So let's talk a little bit more about getting involved. Who is this for and how can one participate?
Yeah, so this challenge is for everyone. We encourage any community members to participate. iNaturalist, the app, is only available to use for children 13 years and older. So if younger kids are participating, we ask that, you know, they participate with family. But iNaturalist is a very easy to use app. People don't even have to be able to identify what they find. The great thing about this app is that people who are experts go on there and they offer identifications for the species that they know. So if people are uploading pictures of plants and animals, they can put in a very general identification, such as bird or flower, if they don't know what the specific species is. And then people will be able to go on and help them with identification of that. So it's really easy to be able to do that.
And what kinds of observations should we make, or what types of photos for this species should we be taking?
So it is great if people can make observations of wild plants and animals. And that can be anything from flowers to trees, to a squirrel you see outside, to pollinators, to insects. But we do really like them to be wild ones versus like your pet or animals at the zoo, things like that. So even if they want to go out, they can find a fungus that they take a picture of. So anything that's growing wild outside is what we would prefer for observations.
Wonderful. And Stacy, I know you've done a lot of behind the scenes work to get this event going. How can our listeners find a BioBlitz event near them?
Yeah, so if they go onto the City of Salem's website, we have a web page for the City Nature Challenge. And it has all of the information you need to know. It's got a short promotional video on there that's going to tell you all about the challenge and how to participate. And then it has the full calendar of BioBlitz events as well. And so the website is just www.cityofsalem.net/citynaturechallenge. You can also like and follow the City of Salem's Facebook page. There's going to be posts on there. And that's at City of Salem OR. And so, yeah, we've got information all over, hoping to get everyone out to be able to participate in this great challenge.
Thank you so much, Stacy. And now let's jump over to talk with Cassie. Cassie, what are some of the more uncommon species we may see during those 4 days?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the uncommon species that I'm really hopeful that we'll see are the ones that are nocturnal, since they're not active during the daytime. So species such as great horned owls or bats or moths or other cool nighttime insects. I've personally never participated in a nighttime walk before, so I'm really curious and excited to see what kind of things we discovered. And I'm really grateful for the City of Salem as, or for hosting one of those as an option for their events.
Me too. What are some of the birds migrating through now that we may see, or flowers in bloom at this time?
Oh, I love that question. So we're lucky that these events will take place right during the peak of spring bird migration, as well as our wildflower bloom period. So, for bird species, it's possible that we might start seeing our western tanagers, which are a beautiful bright yellow bird with these red markings on it. But we could also be seeing our western flycatchers, black-headed grosbeaks, warblers, and maybe a little on the early side, but if we're lucky, maybe we'll see a lazula bunting too, which will be very cool. For the bird species, though, ultimately that is going to depend on their migration timing, which can vary a little bit each year, depending on what kind of food sources are available. For flower species, Camas flowers will be near peak bloom, which will be very exciting at Bush's Pasture Park, as well as surrounding areas. So it's a beautiful, deep purple wildflower that's native here to the Willamette Valley. And every year, a blanket of them form under the Oregon white oak trees at Bush's Park, which is really nice. And there's also a lot of cultural importance to that flower. Since Kalapuya Indians will harvest and prepare those bulbs as one of their first food options or choices there. For wildflowers, though, we could see, or for other species, it could be western buttercups, trilliums, stream violets, as well as some of our flowering tree and shrub species, such as Pacific madrones.
Very cool. Yeah, I just saw the Western Tanager the other day at the park in Dallas, and I was so excited because it's just such a brilliant yellow and reddish color, and that's my sign that spring is here. So I hope to see it at the City Nature Challenge too. Just a quick update. If you're just joining us, I'm here with Stacy Teller and Cassie Roos to talk about the upcoming City Nature Challenge. And you're listening to Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. Cassie, so you are the urban areas conservation planner. So I'm guessing you get questions on a regular basis about invasive species. Can iNaturalist and the City Nature Challenge be used to note invasive species as well, or is there a better way to report a sighting?
Sure. So iNaturalist is a great resource to upload invasive species since anything or all things in nature can be uploaded to the app as a resource there. But there are also other platforms that are just focused on invasive plant animal species. For example, the Oregon Invasive Species Hotline is a great resource if you think that you found a new outbreak of a species that's of higher concern. So these could be things like garlic mustard or the horrible emerald ash borer that's infecting our Oregon ash trees. So species of higher concern, I would suggest the Oregon Invasive Species Hotline. But for more just common general observations, English ivy or blackberry, species that, can be found in a lot of places. I think that iNaturalist is a great platform, as well as IMAP Invasives is another one too, that is strictly focused on the invasive plant species and animals.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll be sure to include some links with that in our episode promotion. Will participants be able to see the results of the City Nature Challenge? And how does this information help scientists?
Yes. So once the observations have been uploaded to iNaturalist or these invasive plant and animal platforms, the information is public and accessible to everyone. So anyone can go on these websites and they can see these certain plant and wildlife species, like where they've been seen across Oregon or even across the whole globe, which I think is really exciting. And the results for the City Nature Challenge specifically will be posted on May 6th to learn which of the 500 plus cities across the world, or to learn what they've contributed, which is going to be exciting to see. I think there is a place called La Paz, which is located in Bolivia, who made the most observations last year out of all the cities contributing.
Oh my gosh. Do you recall how many it was?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd have to check on the website, but I know it was an impressive amount. They won without question, so I'll have to go check and see.
Yeah, very cool.
And then it helps scientists. Ultimately, for the iNaturalist reports, it's getting more boots on the ground to document all these different types of finding in nature. So the work of scientists, it requires a lot of data. And by partnering with community scientists who are making these types of iNaturalist reports, researchers are able to access more and varied data across the landscape. And research projects, it could include where different species are located, how their population levels are doing, as well as monitoring the phenology of plants and animals, which is the study of the different repeated patterns and life cycles. So, for example, if you were curious about the phenology of a plant, that would be things like the blooming. When is it producing fruit? When are the leaves changing colors and falling? And for animals, it could be tracking things such as migration or nesting periods. And it's important to document these kinds of events to understand our local biodiversity as well as how our changing climate is impacting these natural cycles in nature. So it's good to keep track of and just a great public database to contribute to.
Absolutely. Those are all really good reasons for people to get involved. I am very curious to find out that information myself. Thank you. Cassie and Stacy, what are some ways that we can bring a more natural ecosystem to our own backyards? And are there any programs with the City of Salem or Marion SWCD that people can get involved with?
Sure, yeah, I will talk first, I'm sure, because Cassie has a lot of information to help with that, I'm sure. City of Salem, we do have some resources. We've got information on landscaping with native plants, information on using less chemical fertilizers and pesticides to help wildlife and pollinators in your yard and garden, information on naturescaping. But mostly what we do is we provide information and resources. So if you're interested in kind of learning how to do any of that or finding more information, you can always visit our Clean Streams website, which is cleanstreamsalem.org, and that's where we have all of that information. But we're very much education centered, so we want to educate the community about all of these things they can do in their backyard to help. With the wildlife, with pollinators, and make it more natural.
And does the City of Salem have a program for adding native trees or shrubs if you live along the stream?
We do, yes. So for streamside residents in Salem, we've got a free tree program, although it offers free trees and native shrubs for along the riparian area. And we typically host this in the fall. So starting end of August is when we send out information to all streamside landowners in Salem about how to participate in this program. And then we do pickup of plants in October. So yes, it is a great program to be able to get native plants right along the riparian buffer and kind of help with shade on our streams.
So yeah, and from Marion SWCD, I mean, as far as just ways you can make more natural ecosystems at home, I would say one of the best things you could do is remove invasive plant species, since they're one of the biggest impacts that are negatively impacting our local biodiversity. And then replacing those native plants with native plants that are naturally occurring from the Willamette Valley, since they're adapted to our local climate, soil conditions, as well as the best resource to support our different native wildlife species. And of course, just as a resource available to you all, if you're in Marion County, you're always welcome to reach out if you need technical assistance on how to best remove invasive species you might be dealing with, as well as getting recommendations of different native plants that you could add. And we do have a native plant sale twice a year, too, as an option to source native plants. We also did just launch a brand new pilot program at the district called the Little Habitat Project, with the goal primarily focused on building community and connectivity for wildlife habitats in urban and suburban areas. The program benefits include help with planning out projects. You have the option for a site visit if needed, and you also will get coupons to our native plant sale and a beautiful little yard sign to showcase your efforts that you can put right in your own yard. But we're expecting to add more incentives within this program in the upcoming future. So if you know of a yard, a garden, a schoolyard, or more, there's lots of different areas the certification could be eligible for. And I hope that you'll want to get involved because it's really gratifying, I think. I mean, when you plant some flowers and see bees actually pollinating them, or add a nesting box and there's a bird using it. It's like, oh my gosh, it's such a cool feeling. And I think it's also, you know, it's not just a great program to help benefit our local environment, but it's also a good option to help nurture your own mental and physical health and build a sense of community around these types of efforts.
I love that. Thank you, Cassie. Yes, if you live in Marion County in an urban area and you want to make an impact in your own backyard, please reach out to Stacy and Cassie. These are awesome programs to get involved with. Question to both of you. If you could ask the community to make one change in relation to the work that you do, what would that be?
Sure. So, especially coming from my work with the Clean Streams Initiative, I think the biggest thing I would say is just reduce pollutants outside that can flow to our storm drains and local streams. So storm drains in Salem, they flow untreated to local streams. So anything that goes down that storm drain is going to get carried right to local streams, whether it's trash or oil from your car, runoff from pesticides or herbicides from your lawn. All of that goes right into our streams and can impact wildlife living there. So just anything you can do outdoors to help keep those pollutants from going to the storm drain would be my biggest ask for the community.
I know. I went to the Urban Stream Symposium recently and I was so impressed by the amount of litter and pollutants that were taken out of the local streams. So the stream crew is doing awesome work. Thank you so much. What do you think, Cassie? How about you?
Ooh, well, building off of Stacy's answer there, another way you can help reduce pollution too is our light pollution that's in the sky, especially during this time of year with peak migration season happening for birds. Outdoor lighting or even lights from your own house getting outside can actually disrupt their migration routes. So from mid-April to mid-May is a really good time to try to limit as much light exposure as possible in the evenings, I would say is a good one. Aside from always planting more flowers, there's always room for more to help support our pollinators.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, light pollution. That's something that we may not think of as all the birds are migrating right now. So that's a really great reminder. Thanks, Cassie. Stacy and Cassie, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it, and I wish you a successful nature challenge.
Thank you so much. I was so happy to be able to speak with you.
Yes, thanks for having me, Morgan. This was awesome.
Absolutely. I've been talking with the folks responsible for bringing a community science opportunity to Salem. So I hope all of you listening feel inspired to get involved. And I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We're grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on any of these topics and our upcoming events, please visit our website, polkswcd.com, and our Facebook page for follow-up information, including a link to the City Nature Challenge website. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday of every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and your light shining.